Yeah, and it was a huge thing, and they were a powerhouse. Detroit Catholic Central was regarded by those of us who came out of the parochial school system as a kind of the local version at the secondary school level of what everything that Notre Dame represented at the college level. And of course, those were the years when in the movie Newt Rockne of Notre Dame had came out, I guess, after that, a little after that. But and even the priests in our high school talked in terms of, you know, Notre Dame, you got to go on. We were deeply imbued in those days with the idea that Catholic education was important. And it's amazing to me as I look back and first of all, how much it's changed, the general attitude even among Catholics. But, you know, the Catholic school system came out of, in the late 1800s, particularly, out of a difficulty that Catholic immigrants had in being assimilated to the Anglo-American culture, and finding, for example, that in the public schools they were teaching the Bible, they were teaching the King James Version of the Bible. It was long before Americans got united for the separation of church and state, or any of those issues were ever raised by anybody. Nobody doubted the fact that it was that the people in the community had a perfect right to teach the Bible to their children. And they taught the Bible according to the version that represented the majority opinion in the community. And the Catholic bishop said, no, you're teaching heresy to our kids. We can't go to the public schools. We'll have to start our own school system. Unlike the way things are today, they didn't go to the Supreme Court and say, you can't teach the Bible to our kids, because the Catholic bishops never doubted that the Protestants had a perfect right to use the public school system to teach the Bible to their children. But they said, we don't want you teaching your Bible to our kids. We're going to start our own school system, which they did.
When did the Catholic school system pick up a good head of steam and be sort of systemic throughout the populated part?
Well, I'm giving you the motivation for its beginning was because because the Catholic bishops felt that their people were being exposed to all this heresy in the public schools. And of course, many of them were immigrants, Irish, German, French, and so on. And Eastern European, and they wanted to maintain their own culture, but specifically their own religion. So that was the reason why it was created. Because there was still in those days a tremendous flow of religious vocations, nuns and priests who would work for nothing or next to nothing, it was economically possible to have a competing school system and make it work. But, and I sort of came along, I was born at the tail end of this, or at maybe the apex of all this, and I remember the priest from the pulpit in August, late August or early September, preaching hard and vigorously to the people that you, parents, you have a moral responsibility to the religious education of your children. If it is at all possible, at whatever great sacrifice, you have a responsibility to send your children to Catholic schools. And, my sense of it was, growing up, the only Catholics who sent their kids to public schools were people who came from mixed marriages, where they had married a Protestant, one of them, or basically poor people who were simply too poor, and you had to be awful damn poor, because in the days when I went to Epiphany School, on Mondays we brought our $2 for tuition. That's the way the school was supported. The kids had brought their $2 for tuition on Monday.
Lunch money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you paid, they went through the classroom, collected the tuition money, $2 a head. The oldest one in the family brought the tuition money. And so, I mean, it was a shoestring operation, but a damned good education. I mean, the atmosphere in the classroom was the same as the atmosphere at home. The nun, I later learned that the legal expression was in loco parentis, but she sure as hell was in the loco of the parentis. And if she wrapped you at school, you didn't go home and tell mother and dad because they'd wrap you for getting wrapped in school. I mean, it was part of it. But this carried into high school. And in high school, I met these marvelous priests from Canada, the Basilian Fathers.
Basilian. Say that again.
Basilian. It's St. Basil. B-A-S-I-L-I-A-N. The formal name of the order is the Congregation of St. Basil, CSB. They're based in Toronto, Ontario, at St. Mike's College is their the basic novitiate for the order. And they have now, and then, I guess, too, a number of places where they supply the faculty. They operate St. Thomas College in Houston, Texas, and of course St. Mike's College, St. John Fisher College in Rochester, New York, and a number of high schools around.
Do you know how John Fisher is spelled? I'm not trying to help, but
I think it's F-I-S-H-E-R. I remember giving an example. I'm 14 years old, and I'm in my first year in high school, okay? And the priest walks into the in the English classroom, and there were five classrooms of freshmen at this high school. I think we were on the third floor of the building. It was a third floor walk-up. The principal's office, I'll give you an idea what this school was like. The principal's office was located on the landing of the front stairway. I mean, the building was designed, that was designed merely to be the landing where you turn around when the stairway would come up this way and turn this way and went back that way. But half that landing had been walled off and made into the principal's office. That's where the principal's office was. So it was not fancy by any means. I mean, we had no swimming pool. We had a lot of other things.